Michael Tracos is a national hockey writer for Post Media News. He was in San Jose for the unveiling of the newest member of the Sharks, and Michael Tracos joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Michael, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Watching Erik Karlsson put on that jersey and sort of taking a step back and just trying to put in context what it means for his career to be in San Jose. When you do that, it really does seem, doesn't it, as if this is a perfect fit for Erik Karlsson.
Hey, Jeff. And yeah, let's be honest. Any fit is better than being in Ottawa again. And, you know, I know there was a sell job to get Erik Karlsson to go to San Jose, but you know what? Like, I think he would have taken any team over going back to the Senators for this season. And similar to Max Pacioretty, this is a guy that was really in need of a fresh start. And like Pacioretty, he's going to San Jose where he doesn't have to be a captain. Obviously, he's going to be one of their best players, but he's also surrounded by some of the best NHLers in the league there. He's got Brent Burns that he might play with. Yesterday, he was being paired with Marc-Edouard Vlasic. Really, you can't go wrong with either one. There's so many good forwards up front. So this looks like it's going to be a match made in heaven for a guy like Karlsson and the Sharks.
And I would think, you know, from a distance, Michael, the one thing that stands out is he is not, I think he's going to get some extra miles here because of the depth of the defense corps, but because it's all, you know, it's also like thinking of Kyle Lowry with the Raptors and how as a point guard, when you have another point guard to share some of the ball handling duties, it just leaves you fresher at the end of the year. And, you know, it's less wear and tear. It's less you have possession of the object and somebody's whacking you with a stick or slapping at you with their hands or trying to punch you in the side to get the ball or to get the puck, whatever it is. I think there's an element of that as well for Erik Karlsson. He's going to be able to do what he does offensively, but he's also not going to have to be the guy with the puck and a stick every time.
Yeah, that's a good point, Jeff. Like, he carried the load and some in Ottawa. Like, you got to remember, like, as a defenseman, I think he led the team in scoring and probably, like, almost every single year that he was with the Senators. And that's a tough thing. I know we kind of marvel at the points he puts up, and it's almost effortless at times, but now you go into San Jose where Brent Burns can score 30 goals. He can also be a point-per-game producer as a defenseman, and you know, Karlsson doesn't have to be the go-to guy every single time he's on the ice, and that's got to be a relief. But you know what? I don't think we should expect that Karlsson's going to somehow have a drop in productivity going to San Jose. If anything, this is a guy that's probably going to be shooting for 80 to 90 points this year, as crazy as that might actually sound as a defenseman. And part of that is just because he's going to get a lot of assists. You look at Ottawa, and it was basically if Karlsson wasn't scoring himself, he had to rely on guys like Mark Stone or Ryan Dzingel to score goals. Now he's going to be passing the puck to Logan Couture, Joe Pavelski, Evander Kane, Joe Thornton, and Thomas Hertl. Like, the list really does go on and on when you're talking about San Jose's depth, and it really is exciting. Like, I feel for the Edmonton Oilers when you're thinking about how are they going to fare in this division where you've got to go up against San Jose, and if it's not San Jose, then you got to go up against Vegas or Los Angeles. But this looks like it's going to be one of the more complete teams in the NHL.
You know, you had an interesting comment from Marc-Edouard Vlasic in your article where, you know, he talked about how he's played with Drew Doughty. He's played with Rob Blake, Shea Weber, of course, Brett Burns. You know, and he's also, because he's played in Team Canada, he's been forced to adapt to really, really talented defensemen a lot of the times. And I'm wondering if maybe that's kind of the obvious pairing here, do you think? Because it just kind of reinforces the value of a guy like Vlasic, that you can kind of, it's not like you're a complementary player, but you can make your game fit with players who are uber talented and who could do otherworldly things. I mean, that's not something that comes easy to a lot of players.
No, and Vlasic's not going to, you're not going to be worried about Vlasic kind of crossing the red line and kind of shooting up the ice and joining the rush and saying, oh, geez, who's actually back there? This is a stay-at-home defenseman, arguably one of the better shutdown guys. That's the role he plays for Team Canada, and that's the role he plays for San Jose. So it would seem like that's the best way to complement Carlson's skills, similar to what Eric had in Ottawa, where he was playing with Mark Messier. It's a bit of a yin and a yang versus, you know, they had Burns with Carlson and Pavelski in a 3-on-3 overtime scrimmage type drill yesterday. And it was Burns hitting Carlson up the ice with like a 150-foot breakaway pass. And then Pete DeBoer was joking. He's like, all of a sudden I was going, oh, geez, like who's actually going to be playing defense now? And it was Joe Pavelski actually having to skate backwards. So I don't think you want that sort of situation kind of rearing its ugly head in the regular season when you're playing 5-on-5. So that seems to be the best fit. And, you know, it's kind of funny, though. Like, we're talking about Ottawa and loading up their defense, similar to, I guess, how Tampa Bay or Nashville has loaded up the defense. But if you look at the last two Stanley Cup teams, like Washington and Pittsburgh, neither team really had that much of a defense to speak of. I think last time Pittsburgh won, Chris Letang was injured and Ron Hainsey was their best defenseman. Last year with Washington, it was John Carlson and, you know, a bunch of guys that wouldn't be in San Jose's top four, really. So it will be kind of interesting to see if San Jose or Nashville can kind of reach the Stanley Cup final with a team that's got really a kind of a star-studded defense, because it seems like the trend right now is to build down the middle and have three really good centers. And San Jose might be kind of tested that way, especially after losing Chris Tierney going the other way in the trade.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here also as you were talking. I'm kind of scribbling out how the Sharks' power play might look, which is, you know, you might be able to have four defensemen in your power play if you're Pete DeBoer, if you really want, just for yucks, if you're bored.
Yeah, there's no really wrong way to kind of pencil it out, is it, Jeff? And it's similar to, I guess, Toronto, when you're looking at what their power play might look like. It's, yeah, whatever names you're writing on there, you can't really go wrong with them. And I think that's the thing that Pete DeBoer, like, I talked to him before the press conference yesterday, and I said, how's your summer? He goes, it was okay. It's going a lot better now. He's like, I go, who's Carlson going to play with? He goes, I don't even know. I don't care. I'm just going to throw the guys out there, and really, you can't go wrong. And he's got an easy job, it sounds like, because you've got all that talent. No matter who you put Carlson out there with, you know you're going to get productivity. It's just a matter of what makes sense in terms of balance.
So where do you think this puts them now in the West? I mean, clearly, you know, you sit there and you look at the West, and you can come up with, you know, five or six teams that are really good. But what do you think could separate San Jose from the pack? Or is there still somebody you think would be the, you know, you'd put ahead of San Jose?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Like, that Pacific division might be the toughest division now, along, I guess, with the Atlantic, with Toronto, Boston, and Tampa being at the top of the heap. But yeah, the West, you know, I still put Nashville up there. I still put Winnipeg up there, even though Winnipeg's in the Central Division. I think this season is really going to bear out that there's a lot of haves and have-nots in the NHL, and you know, like, there's a lot of really good teams, like we just mentioned, in San Jose, Nashville, Vegas, Winnipeg. But there's a lot of bad teams as well. Like, so you're going to be able to beat up on Vancouver and Arizona and possibly Chicago. And I just wonder kind of if it's really going to come down to a group of four teams in the West and a group of maybe four or five teams in the East. And really, we're going to have that kind of distinction. Maybe even by January, as to, okay, this looks like a playoff contender or a Stanley Cup contender. This team looks like it's completely bottoming out. So that parity might be kind of going away this season.
I want to ask you a question about William Nylander. It's continuing to, I'm not going to say drag on, because I've been preaching patience and saying this is eventually going to get done. But Mike Babcock yesterday, you know, and within his right, sort of, drop the old times a waste in line. When does it become an issue for the Leafs, whether or not William Nylander's in camp? Is it simply get him in by the start, by opening night, and everything's okay? Or do you think it becomes, is there a certain time where you can start noticing it as being an issue?
I think it becomes an issue once the losses start piling up. And, you know, with or without Nylander, this is going to be just a great Toronto Maple Leafs team. And I think that's sort of, helping the Leafs cause versus Nylander's cause. If his object is to wait it out and make the Leafs miss him, it's going to be hard when you look at how many options they do have up front. So, you know, Babcock is being the typical coach saying, yeah, I want all my players in the lineup and I want them now, and trying to put a little pressure on them. But, you know, the fact that Sam Reinhart signed a sweetheart deal for the Sabres yesterday, that's not helping Nylander's cause. And I wonder how far apart these two sides are, because the fact that we're not hearing any talk, the fact that Nylander appears to be still in Sweden, these aren't great signs if you're a Maple Leafs fan.
Do they get – you know, I mean, I look at Reinhart – pardon me, Reinhart's deal. Do you think there's any chance that this gets done on something other than a short-term contract? You know what I – let me rephrase that. Let me rephrase that. Is there a way this gets – yeah. Is there a way that – or is that like a loss? Would that just be essentially almost like a loss for both sides?
Yeah, if I'm the Leafs, I don't want to do a bridge, just because like Nylander's going to pull a lot more points up, I think, this season than he did in the past 2 years, just because if he's playing with Matthews for an entire season and you've got Marleau on the other side, there's no way that he puts up 60 points. He's you can pencil him in for 75 to 80 in my mind. So if you do a bridge deal, all it's going to do is just raise the price in terms of re-signing Nylander. With Reinhart, that's a different situation because – you know, last year you lost so many bodies in Buffalo. Guys were hurt or they had gotten traded, like Evander Kane. This year, Reinhart might be fighting for some playing time because of guys like Casey Mittelstadt, Jeff Skinner, and Connor Sheary. So in Buffalo's mind, they might be saying, you know what, you got 25 goals and 50 points last year. There's no way you're going to get more than that this year with all the bodies that we've added. Opposite scenario with Toronto. So I think a long-term deal makes a lot more sense for the Leafs than it does for Nylander.
Now, our friend Louis Jean reporting yesterday, we touched on the Ottawa Senators a bit, and we were talking about Erik Karlsson, but reported yesterday that Mark Stone wants to leave Ottawa. I don't know if you would file this under necessarily a huge surprise, but how do you see that? How do you see that playing out? I mean, yeah, you can do a rebuild and all that stuff, but man, you got to be careful that you don't completely deplete. You know, you don't completely deplete your team. But it does appear as if Mark Stone would be the next guy, don't you think?
Yeah, you got to keep some guys around, right, Jeff? Mm-hmm. Not just guys, but like really good players. And you're going to lose Matt Duchene, who I talked to before the season, and he really loved the fact that John Tavares was able to kind of orchestrate where he wanted to play in free agency. And it looks like Duchene wants to do the same thing. So that's one body already out. If you lose Stone, you're really looking at a team where more and more pressure is just being heaped on a guy like Brady Tkachuk. And that's a dangerous spot, especially considering how young he is. And, you know, he's going to need some insulation. You can't expect him just to be the only guy, especially up front. So if I'm Ottawa, I'm doing everything in my power to sign Mark Stone. But essentially, that should have been done in the summer when you had him still as an RFA and you still had team control over him. The fact that they let this go to arbitration, the fact that they only signed him to a one-year extension and really gave the power back to Mark Stone was a huge mistake in my mind in terms of what the Ottawa Senators are trying to do for the future. And if I'm Mark Stone, why do I want to sign in Ottawa where it looks like the next 5 years are going to be as painful as any team has ever experienced in terms of a rebuild?
We're going to let you run, Michael. Great of you to do this, man.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. And you'll be happy to know that I did stop at In-N-Out Burger yesterday.
Yes. Yes. So,
yeah.
Double animal style.
How'd you know? But Diet Coke, because, you know, still watching the weight.
Diet. We have to have this discussion. Travis and I have this all the time. Fast food. If you're going to do it, do it. Suck it up. Have the fast food. Load up in sugar at the same time. It's like Diet Coke. It's just counterproductive.
Oh, it makes me feel good about myself, man.
Yeah, because you're in such, you know, you need to watch your weight. You're in such bad shape. You need to watch your weight.
I'm just trying to keep up with you. You went on the cardio spree this summer, so.
I did?
I went the other way.
All right, sir.
All right. Talk to you later, Jeff.